All right, the recorder has started. And as I said, we are in Luke 18. For me, that's page 166 in the Kindle. What do you guys have on paper?
167.
167 if you have the paper book. All right, so I'll begin reading at verses 1 to 8. Prayer is a practice that increases faith and willingness. For prayer is an act of gratitude. Whenever you pray, whatever you may be saying, you are also saying within your heart and beyond the words, I believe that there is more than this which I experience as reality. I am willing to extend my faith and follow this path that I may know the truth which eludes me now. Continue to pray that your faith and willingness may be increased through your own desire to have it so. And for me, on a personal level, it's actually kind of interesting to read this now because when I was teaching the seven steps to awakening yesterday, I heard myself really saying this. You know, often the first time I hear something, it's coming from this mouth. It's kind of interesting. And yesterday I heard myself saying, so it's the first time I had this realization, that the reason that we practice, you know, why do we do spiritual practice? The reason that we practice is that we are giving enough trust to the teachers, you know, whether the teacher is NTI or Course in Miracles or Muji or whatever, we are giving enough trust to the teachers that what they say is true, that we are willing to practice and see if we can find out for ourselves. And that is actually different than blindly believing something. You know, we're willing to say, okay, I'll try this out for myself. But I understand that in order to really try this out for myself, I have to do the practice. You know, so for example, if the belief that Ruby is a jerk, if I have that thought, I'm going to keep seeing Ruby as a jerk, right? Even that look on her face. See, there she goes again, right? You know, that's going to be my interpretation, right? So I can't keep up my own habits and see differently, right? So if I want to see that Ruby is pure love, then I have to be willing to give the teaching the benefit of the doubt long enough to put that thought aside and then find out for myself, when I truly put that thought aside, do I still see a jerk? Or is something changed? So it's really that we're not changing beliefs for beliefs. We are being willing to suspend our beliefs so that we can see if we can have a direct experience of truth. That's different. And that's what this paragraph says. Whenever we pray, no matter what we're praying for, what we're really saying behind the words is, I believe that there is more than this which I experience as reality. I am willing to extend my faith and follow this path that I may know the truth. That means by direct experience. I don't want to believe that the world is not real without any experience of that. But I'm willing to give that enough benefit of the doubt, enough trust, enough faith, that I'll follow these practices and see if I find out for myself. You see? So it's yesterday for the first time I coined it. This is my new, it just came out of my mouth yesterday, so it's brand new. I coined this yesterday as the path of direct experience. We're on the path of direct experience. We want to see for ourselves. And the practice is an expression of our willingness to do that. Right? I believe that there is more than this which I experience as reality. I am willing to extend my faith and follow this path that I may know the truth which eludes me now. So that's pretty cool. We are on the path of direct experience. Okay, so verses 9 to 14. Listen not to your own voice. And of course, this is not talking about your inner voice, the Holy Spirit. This is talking about your conditioned voice, your ego voice, that 5-year-old voice, you know, that Susie was talking about, right? Listen not to your own voice, which tells you how right you are in all that you think. Remember that I have asked you to lay your thoughts aside. Here is why I make this request. Now, you have a definition of yourself that you believe. It includes preferences and judgments and all manner of concepts that tell you who you are. But these concepts do not tell you who you are. Each and every one of them tells you who you are not. Remember, I told you that you have only traveled away from me in your perception of yourself. These concepts, which you believe define you, are the misperceptions that tell you that you are not me. These concepts, which you think define you, serve the purpose of separating you from me within your mind. So I'm going to pause there for a moment. This hit me at the funniest time. I can't even remember who I was with. But I was with someone, a person, and we walked into a restaurant and they seated us. It was in an area where they have both smoking and non-smoking sections. I don't remember if they do that here now or not, but not all states do anymore. Some are all non-smoking. But this had smoking and non-smoking sections. And they seated us in the non-smoking section, but right next to the smoking session, and smoking whatever section. And this person got all tight and said, "I cannot sit next to cigarette smoke." And it's so funny because it hit me just like that. Oh my God, she's making that up and believing it. I mean, it's just like a pow. You're like, it's something that most of us would say, most of us non-smokers anyway, would say made sense. But it was like, pow, she's making this up and believing it. This is who she thinks she is. She thinks she's someone who cannot sit near cigarette smoke. You know? And think how, what a little thing that is. And how many of those little things do we have that define, I can't stand this, I love this, I can't put up with that. You know, I'm this, I'm this, I'm not this, I'm not this. And the whole thing is made up. In fact, one day, my inner guidance, I think this came through the seven steps as well, my inner guidance asked me to make a list of, if I was introducing myself to someone, really introducing myself, like maybe you're in a classroom situation, and they divide you into twos, and they say, tell that person as many things as you can about you to try and get this person to know who you are really quickly. Okay, so the exercise was to write down everything I would tell a person about who I am to try and get them to really know me fast, you know, a good picture of me. And then after I did that, the inner guide said, okay, everything you just wrote down is not true. Every single thing. Imagine that. And you might even, just for the fun of it, if you feel like it, do that sometime this week. Write down who would you tell people you are. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you want? What are your hopes and dreams? What are your regrets? And then realize you're none of that. None of that. I mean, that's amazing. Yes, Ruby?
Yeah, and that, you know, I was trying to do something else like that about maybe 3 weeks ago. And, you know, my inner voice said to me, everybody's playing somebody else.
Yeah, everybody's.
And so that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
Everybody's playing somebody else.
Yes.
You're playing the non-smoker and you can't stand smoke.
That's right.
And you were talking about all the things that you are. You're playing all those people.
That's right.
Isn't that funny?
It's hilarious. And that's exactly what this is saying here. These concepts, which you believe define you, are the misperceptions that tell you that you're not me, right? Even in saying I can't stand to sit next to smoke. I mean, if you think about it for half a second, you don't usually think of it that way when you say it, if you say it. But if you think of it for half a second, if you're someone who can't stand smoke, then aren't you separating yourself from Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God? You're saying you're something different, right? You're the one who can't stand smoke. That's who you are, right? It's hilarious. So these concepts which you believe define you are the misperceptions that tell you that you are not me. These concepts, which you think define you, serve the purpose, this is their purpose, of separating you from me within your mind. Remember, you have journeyed away from me within the mind only. It is only your perception that tells you that you are separate from me. So if you are to discover the truth of who you are, you must be willing to lay your perceptions of yourself aside. I think I hear an assignment coming. You must be willing to stop believing that you know who you are. You must be willing to be open to discovering your truth. This is the humility I ask for. I ask you to admit that you could be wrong about your definition of yourself. So then the question becomes, are you sure you're the person who can't sit next to cigarette smoke? Are you sure about that? Or is this just something you've believed about yourself, you've told yourself, and now that's an experience? And I remember all my life, I was someone who hated tomatoes. All my life. I remember as a kid, we'd go to McDonald's. My brother hated pickles. I hated tomatoes. And back then, they put tomatoes in all the burgers, even those little burgers at McDonald's. So as soon as we got our burgers, we'd open them up. I'd give him my tomato, and he'd give me his pickles, right? All my life, no tomatoes. If they put them on, ooh, gross, taking them off. And then at some point, since I've been on this path, it hit me. How can I change my mind about the world if I can't change my mind about tomatoes? Now, I'm already 44 when this happened, so I've been hating tomatoes for, you know, probably at least 42 years, right? So I decided that I was going to allow my mind to change about tomatoes, and so I bought a tomato, and I bit into it, and I just thought it was disgusting. But the next time there was a tomato around, I ate it again. The next time there was a tomato around, I ate it again. Do you realize I love tomatoes now? You know? So it's not true that I was the person who hated tomatoes. That was an idea that occurred to me once. I believed it and I experienced it. But it wasn't truth, because if who I am is a person that hates tomatoes, then I can't be sitting here, you know, 8 years later loving tomatoes. Right? That's not who I am. And you know, so I think part of our assignment, I think I can go into our assignment even before we finish. Part of our assignment this week, or maybe our full assignment, will be to start noticing what are the self-definitions that I've made up about myself and believe to the point that I think that's who I am. Can I not stand loud noises, for example? Do I need space? Right? Must I absolutely have to have music to go to sleep at night? I mean, a little stuff even. Who have I told myself that I am to the point that I believed it? Right? Holy Spirit continues. And this is why it is written, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Make yourself like little children, free of concepts that blind you to the simplicity of truth. Open your mind to me, and I will show you what you are. And in this case, my understanding as the scribe of little children, we're not talking 8-year-olds, we're talking like the 1-year-olds, who really have not developed all of these concepts yet, and they're just out there experiencing the world. You know, they're, when you give them pudding, they're squeezing the pudding, you know, because they're still, you know, to them it's not even just a food. I mean, sure, they're going to eat it, but it's also a toy, right? I mean, they haven't really got hardly any definitions yet. And he's saying that actually that's more open and ready to receive the kingdom of heaven than us. We literally want to become like little children by starting to notice all of the definitions we've made of the world, of things in the world, and of course of ourselves, and start realizing that we made it all up. We formed these opinions. We decided these were truths, and then we lived under those rules, but we made them all up. In fact, it seems to me, I could be making this up, but it seems to me that I heard a spiritual teacher say once, I think I did, if you didn't have that thought or opinion when you were born, the day you were born, then it's not true. Now think of how many of your thoughts and opinions you did not have the day you were born. Right? Think of all the crap you've accumulated and believed since the day you were born. You know? And again, we just how much of that do you just blindly believe over and over again? You know, if you think you're a person who doesn't like loud noises, for example, every time you hear a loud noise, what do you think again? I don't like that. I need quiet, right?
Yeah, I'm working on that.
You're working on that? I wasn't really picking on you, but I could see how you interpret it that way.
I'm
sure. Yeah, okay, good. You know, some common ones in the spiritual community, you know, more common, more spiritual community people think they need quiet. They think they need space, right? These are common ones. That's why I pick those. That's not true. You don't need quiet or space. That's, even though it's more spiritual sounding, it's still part of the made-up self-concept. You know, if you could have spoken on day one in your life, would you have said, I need quiet. I need space. Now, you learned that somewhere along the way, and then you believed it, right? Yeah. It's not true. Now, there may be moments in which you're guided to quiet or guided to space, like that's where I am to be now. That's different than I need, right? Just this is where I am to be now. Right now, I'm to be in a time of more exclusion from other people, more quiet, more aloneness. But that's just a temporary guidance as opposed to who you are. So, verses 18 to 30. When one begins to understand what is asked of him on this path to heaven, one must become afraid. That is because you believe that you are the thoughts you think. You have taken them on as your identity. And so, when I ask you to lay your thoughts aside, and I seem to make no exceptions to this request, there must come a time that you become afraid. For there must come a time in which you think I am asking you to trade yourself for the kingdom of heaven. So if I am a person who has a belief, not a temporary guidance, but a belief that I need space. I need space for peace of mind, right? And I start feeling guidance to somehow give up that space. I start feeling guidance to invite others to live with me, for example, which is something that I've been through. Okay, I feel guidance to invite others to live with me. If I hold on firmly to that belief that I need space, and yet I can hear that guidance to invite others to live with me, I perceive this as a sacrifice. I think God is asking me to sacrifice who I am. Right? But notice the next paragraph. Rest assured that nothing could be further from the truth. Because God is not asking us to sacrifice who I am. God is asking us to let go of false ideas about who I am so I can realize who I really am. Right? But if we're very, very attached to these self-concepts, then and you can still feel that guidance sometimes. You can just feel it coming that you're being asked to do something that goes entirely against your self-concept. And if the resistance is too big, you actually don't have to do it. But what would be helpful is to notice, I know that was guidance, and I know this is resistance. I give my willingness for this resistance to be healed. That would be the most helpful thing to do, because there's always going to be another time. Another day, right? You'd be surprised in 10 years how you can be in a completely different position than you were 10 years before just because you gave your willingness, or 5 years, or a year, right? So the ego would want you to see it as a sacrifice. God is unfair, right? But if you can remember this perspective, this teaching, it isn't a sacrifice, God isn't unfair, but if you know you aren't ready, then you just give your willingness. You say, I understand this guidance. I understand the benefit of it. You're trying to let me see I'm not who I think I am. But right now that feels like too big of a step, so I just give my willingness. And that's okay. So it's helpful to understand why this kind of guidance comes. Sometimes people expect guidance to be what they want. My experience has been most guidance is actually not. It's guidance like, I want to live alone with my daughter. We'll invite these people to live with you. You know, it's guidance like, I can't think of many examples. Can you think of examples of guidance I've had that definitely was not me? I mean, it happens all the time. Oh, I know one. I don't really enjoy the center of inner peace very much. We'll join it and give it your full support. right? You know, probably people think that, you know, everything I do is for personal reasons. Often it's exactly, again, the opposite of what the personal wanted. You know, so, and that's because we're letting go of the personal. I mean, when I'm saying that I don't really enjoy the Center for Inner Peace, well, what happened when I first started coming here was I didn't feel inspiration here. And I wanted to get inspiration from where I went, right? And I thought that was the purpose of a church. I thought that was why I would go. You see how this is all defining rules for my world? It's defining who I am, what I should get, what their role is. My guidance was to join the Center for Inner Peace and give it my full support. And to be honest, that's why we're sitting here right now. This is a part of my full support, you know? And there are many other things I'm doing to give my full support. And I come nearly every Sunday when I'm in town. Occasionally something else gets in the way. But I don't even ask, do I want to go to church today? That's irrelevant. I have guidance to come. And I assure you, it has more to do with something than my undoing. I'm probably undoing the people around me as well. Because they have their beliefs about who they are. Now I come in and I'm different, so it kind of rocks the boat. Rocking the boat may look bad, but rocking the boat is not bad. Because what is the boat? The boat is your definition of who you are and how things are supposed to be. If you've asked for awakening, that boat is going to get rocked. You're going to, you know, someone once said to me, Holy Spirit would never ask me to have a friend that I didn't want to be around. And I remember laughing. I said, oh, that's not true. Holy Spirit will put you with exactly the kind of people you never would have chose to be around. Because again, where do those ideas come from? Who I like, who I don't like, who I want to be. That's your self-definition, right? Holy Spirit rocks the boat. What did Jesus say, which many people do not understand, but maybe now you are ready to understand? What did Jesus say about, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword? Do you get it now? Some people say Jesus would never say that. Yeah, he would. That's exactly what Holy Spirit does. He comes to rock the boat. Now, you're not forced to do anything. You're never coerced. That's a true statement. So if you are not ready, you can say, I am not ready, and that is totally cool. There is no guilt. There's no guilt. That is perfectly fine. I don't know how to emphasize how perfectly fine that is. But if you understand why the guidance is coming, and if you really want truth above the illusion, even if it's uncomfortable, you might find yourself saying yes. Because that's why the guidance comes. It is coming to undo who you think you are and what you think the world is. It is not coming to reinforce that by giving you everything that will make your ego comfortable. And also, I can tell you from experience, as someone who literally and honestly has followed this type of guidance over and over and over again, even though it may seem like you're being led into situations you don't like and don't want, because what happens in those situations is healing, the overall effect is that you actually become a happier, more joyous person. So in the end, you're getting what you wanted anyway. Isn't that why you were trying to build your little world? Because you wanted to be happy and you thought, if I have my space and I have my quiet and I have my, then I'll be happy? Well, actually, by giving up those things, you become happy. That's the truth. By giving up all of those rules about who you are. So, again, there must come a time in which you think that I am asking you to trade yourself for the kingdom of God. Rest assured that nothing could be further from the truth. I'm asking you to realize who you are. And at the same time, number 7, I will never ask of you something you are not willing to give. This is because you are the Son of God, and what you believe is yours is yours. So if you can actually say no to guidance. You are never, ever coerced by the Holy Spirit. You're never, ever guilty for saying no to guidance, ever. But there will also come a time when you will begin to realize that what you believe is yours is nothing, and that it has only held the illusion of value. In this realization, you will begin to give willingness to see differently. Through your willingness, your sight will be changed. As you begin to recognize true value, you will let go of the valueless, because it is value that you seek. So here Spirit is saying what I just said. Even if you're not ready now, Just give your willingness. The day will come when you are ready. The day will come when, even though you know you're being asked to walk into a situation that your ego doesn't want, you're going to want it anyway, like the real you is rising. And you're going to want it anyway because what you want is for the ego to be undone. So sometimes people will say to me, you know, Regina, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. And I hear what they're saying, but I also understand they don't hear me. The ego doesn't want to. I do. You see? There's a separation for me there. I'm not the ego. The ego doesn't want to, you know, get involved in this relationship, or the ego doesn't want to, you know, go to the Center for Inner Peace, but I do. You see? So I'm not doing anything I don't want to do. I'm never doing anything I don't want to do. I choose to follow that guidance because I want the ego undone. So we're not forced, we're not coerced, and if you're not ready now, that's okay. He's saying the day will come that you will be. The day will come that you'll see everything that you thought had value, like I need space. Remember when Roger was here that night and he said something about boundaries? I said, oh, boundaries will cause you all kinds of trouble. He's like, but we need boundaries. Like, oh no, that's the last thing you need is boundaries.
Thank you.
This is what I was talking about, right? And the day will come when you'll realize your boundaries, like your idea. If you have the idea, I need space or I need quiet, what happens in your mind every time space or quiet isn't available to you? Anger, frustration, right? Hatred, maybe. But when you no longer have the ideas, I need quiet, I need space, you're fine. You may have quiet space sometimes, you may not other times, but you're fine. It doesn't matter. So the boundaries that you create actually create your own suffering, because you can never keep those boundaries in place all the time, and every time they're violated or not available, you're upset. If you didn't have the boundary in the first place, you wouldn't be upset. So again, by having all of this stuff loosened and letting go of this stuff that you thought had value, it's actually valueless, because it's what causes your suffering. And there comes a time when you will see that, and then you are ready to have all of your rules, all of your thoughts about who you are revealed, so that you can let them go. Because you know what's happening? You're starting to say, I'm ready for that true happiness now. I want to dump everything that's in the way of that. So again, there will also come a time when you will begin to realize that what you believe is yours is nothing, and that it has only held the illusion of value. In this realization, you will begin to give willingness to see differently. Through your willingness, your sight will be changed. And as you begin to recognize true value, you will let go of the valueless, because it is value that you seek. So do not be afraid. Be willing. And give me what you can. See how he's not asking any more than what you're ready for now? Give me what you can. In your gratitude for what you gain through giving, you will be given more. So for some of us, it may seem like those first steps are going to be tiny, tiny, tiny little steps. Like, I'm willing to start eating tomatoes. I'm willing to start sitting in the smoking section. You know, so it may seem like just like almost meaningless tiny steps. But he says what you gain from even those tiny steps will be enough to make you want to take the next step. Because the rewards are going to outweigh, you know, the suffering that was created before. And so just do whatever you can. Start wherever you're at. Do whatever you can. And you will learn from that. And then you actually will want to give more. You actually will want to take bigger steps. It's going to be a natural process. So I think that's where we will stop today. So let me turn off the recorder, and then we will go into a little bit of silence and contemplation on what we've just looked at.